Yeah, they're gonna eat at 12. Okay, we're, well, okay, now your position now, and you've been with Cotton Belt.
I started out at, I went down to Cotton Belt Railroad and was transferred over into the civil department, and I've been with the civil department for about 30 years now. First of November, and I'm the civil manager in Tyler, Texas. I cover Dallas.
So it'd be about 52 you started?
Yeah, I went to work November 1952 with the railroad and been with them ever since. Looking forward now.
Retirement, yeah. Well, okay, you said your wife taught school.
She was teaching school at England, or out, not at England, at play at Tomlin out there when I came back and,
This was at 19 she was teaching school?
Yeah, she was, she started teaching, she worked at the plant at Jacksonville for a while, and they wanted her to help in the school teaching. She wasn't what nowadays would be, she was a high schooler, you know, not a college graduate or anything, but she was teaching. She taught for a while and quit, and we have three children, two girls and a boy, and, we have six grandchildren now, and my son is, youngest, he's 22, and he's working with the civil department with the Southern City Railroad in Houston.
Oh.
And,
They all live in the Texas area. Now, when did you move to Tyler?
I went, in 1952, when I went to work at Pine Bluff, we, was putting signals in, and I started at Umpqua, Arkansas. We got to Frankly, then we moved to Piggott, Arkansas. We was putting them in from Dexter to back to Frankly, and I moved to Piggott for a few months and moved to Jonesboro for a few months. We got them all in, and we went to Texas, started at Texarkana, and I moved to Mount Pleasant, Texas, and we was working from Texarkana to Tyler, putting signals in, and, after we got them in, I bid a signal maintainer job in Tyler.
Yeah.
And so I was signal maintainer for a while and got bumped, and I went bid in a signal maintainer job in Gilmer, Texas. Stayed there a year and got bumped and went back to Tyler. Then I was promoted into the signal engineer's office, and I designed circuits and drew prints for 1965, and closed the office in the Southern Pacific, which owned the cotton mill, began to take it over, and so they transferred me to Houston, and I was a circuit designer and a circuit estimator in Houston for 5 years. Then I got promoted to assistant signal supervisor back at Tyler in 1970. Then in 1975, they transferred me to Jonesboro, Arkansas as civil supervisor, and I stayed there until 1979. We had another reorganization, and I went back to Tyler, and I've been in Tyler ever since.
Well, you have moved back and forth a lot,
yeah.
Haven't you? Yeah. Yeah. Well, some general kinds of comments about your opinion of the CCC and what you think its contribution was in the period 33 to 42.
I think it was one of the grandest things that ever come out. It, one thing, it helped a lot of parents, although it didn't, I didn't contribute my money to my brother and his family, but it helped a lot of families, boys, but it gave the boys something to do. We were teenage boys, had nothing to do, no money to go nowhere. And I think it, personally, I think it made me grow up more than anything in my own life.
What about the general contribution to the economy in that period? You mentioned giving some income to parents and whatnot.
It did. A lot of parents, I know of several that I remember back that depended on their $22 from their son and their service to live on. This is all they had to live on.
What do you think about the money it brought in the state?
It, there were a lot of camps here, evidently, and now, in the camp I was in, the best I remember, it was all Arkansas boys, but I know a lot of Arkansas boys went to out-of-state, but I don't know out-of-state boys coming to Arkansas. I probably were, but I didn't know. And it brought some, the economy had to help, they had
the food.
WPA was it, and, you know, it going on at this time too. People had to have something to do, and this was what I try to tell, you know, I tell my children now that they just don't realize what it means when there's no money. They were working, a lot of work could be done, but nobody had any money to pay. And when you run out of money, you just, there's no money, nobody got any money to pay you. It's terrible.
That's interesting. It is in contrast to when there's no work, but there's money.
That's right.
There was work, but no money.
No money. Nobody had any money to pay you. And that's why I wouldn't trade, although there was lots of good there. We all lived closer together. We had respect for each other. And we could lay our billfold down on the ground and nobody touch it. Where now you have to nail everything down and all this. But now, like I was talking recently to a man, he said he bought a suit one time. He gave $25 for a real good suit. Said I had to work 6 days to pay for it. I said, now I can work a day and buy a good suit. So I'd rather see it now. The money, you know, the money floats around, you might get a little of it. But when there's not any money, then times are hard.
Okay, now one question that they also are interested in is that Congress has passed a bill to reinstitute the CCC. How do you feel about this, and what do you see its possible contribution might be?
I can see that there's lots of boys that it would help, but I can see some problems that knowing of all the other, the schools and things, they were going to have some discipline problems. It's the way the trend is now. Burning down this and burning that. Well, we didn't think this way at all. And get a bunch of boys together. Now, it would help some, but I think they would have to really have some strict disciplinary actions for it to be do like it. We were proud of our camp in Holland. We were proud of it as our own home. Yeah. And this is the feeling that you're going to have for anything. It could be helpful. There's lots of work they could do and lots of good that could come from it. But this is going to be the biggest problem. So.
Okay, I've also asked you a lot of questions about your experiences with the CCC. And there might be something I haven't asked that you think is important or you want to discuss. I haven't particularly pursued recreational or social activities, for instance, or...
Very little social life. And we'd go off, and like I said, I was slipped off to go up to see these girls and that night. And
somebody mentioned moonshine, and that's
right. We went up to a place called Steve out from Hollis one time, another Nicole and I, and we bought a half a gallon of moonshine. We didn't order no what for 50 cents. It was in a jar, half a gallon jar, and I think we drank this water too, and we made us sick or didn't like it, throw the rest of it away or something, but you couldn't buy it up in the mountains at that time. And some of the boys, but I never saw any boys drunk. I don't guess the whole year and a half I was in, if I ever saw a boy drunk in there, I don't remember.
In reflecting, though, are there any other kinds of experiences in the CCC that might be helpful for a research project or people might be putting together?
Other than the firefighting, and we did a lot of this, and breaking lines around these fires, and this is what I was in, most of the fire service, and we built some roads and go down through the woods, cut these what we call motorways, so we just could get down to where fires were, and this is about all we did.
What kind of things do you visit about when you come to a reunion like this in terms of the...
Well, I go up to Hollis and go up through those mountains where I was in camp, and I fell in love with the mountains of Arkansas and the Washington Forest. We were in the Washington Forest, and I come through there every chance I get. And just to talk about old times and reminisce things that happened.
When you plan your trip to your relatives here at this particular time, or just...
No. Last year I found out about this through a friend of mine that he takes the Sheridan paper. And it came out in the shirt and paper. He's a civil maintainer in Tyler. And he said, Jim, you might oversee this. And that's when I wrote Mr. Ratcliffe. And that's how I found out about it. And last year we had a death in the family. My wife lost a sister just 2 or 3 days before this came up. We did plan a week's vacation. We came to Hot Springs and Daisy Park, and came up through here, and we have a room at Hot Springs that we're staying and just come up here. Just make a special trip for this.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed visiting with you, and if there's anything else you think you'd like, Chad, I'd be pleased to.
It's just, I don't know, I suppose all the boys that was in there like I was, it helped them grow up and get away from home and something to do with it.
To record. They built the ponds.
They built some ponds down at around Lake Catherine. That's what I was in, building these fish ponds. Now, we did build some lake, this girl scout camp out here, Lake Sylvia.
Yeah.
There was a Girl Scout camp there then, and we went over, we had an old gentleman there, it would lay these rocks and we built some on Crystal Mountain some things, and dams and pumps where you get water in the camp areas, and we did some of this, but in Lake Sylvia, we done a lot of work around Lake Sylvia for the Girl Scout camp at that time.
When you were in the service, did you find you ran into a lot of people who had been in the CCC?
Yeah, but since I've been out of service, and you'd be surprised how many men that wasn't in there, just like me, they had to have something to do, and a lot of them had families to take care of.
Well, it is 3 minutes